True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Bregman waits. Here's the pitch. And it is high in the air, in the center field, at the track, at the wall. Gone! Bregman hits his first Fenway homer. And it is 10-1 Red Sox.
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
That voice was Will Fleming of the Red Sox Radio Network enjoying some Alex Bregman, who the Cubs are not enjoying, but the Cubs are doing just fine. Thank you very much. Not necessarily because of Matt Shaw at third base or even Justin Turner, who was signed after they missed out on Bregman, but the Cubs offense doing awfully well. The Red Sox offense was doing well. The team overall doing pretty good. Except for the last 2 days. But anyway, Will Fleming joins us right now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Will, good morning. How are you, man?
Spiegs, I was a lot better 48 hours ago, but I have to say I'm thrilled to come on with you. I always love chatting, and I know that, you know, I got to take these chances while I can before it's your turn to go to L.A. and have a national TV show. So I'm thrilled to join you this morning.
Well, Danny's in New York, and he's doing just fine, and we are thrilled for him. You know, I did the national thing. I did that like 15 years ago on Sporting News Radio. I like it right here, baby. I am locked and loaded, locked and loaded. But, you know, but I appreciate it. Will, what has happened these last 2 days? I've gotten five varieties of this text.
Well, how good can the Red Sox be if they can't beat the White Sox?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of us feel that way in the last couple of days, but that's just the way this sport works, Matt. What's crazy is there's something about this city, this place, this ballpark that haunts the Red Sox in these last few years. As the White Sox have been terrible, Boston has not taken advantage of it nearly enough. And I don't know whether it's the lack of crowd energy, who knows? The Red Sox overall this year, I mean, it's 2 weeks into the season, and a couple things have been a problem, and one of them is clutch hitting. And they just have not gotten enough big hits, and that has continued in these 2 days. I have no long-term concerns about the Red Sox. I don't. I think their lineup is great. I think we're going to see Crochet shove it again today. He's been a huge part of everything they're trying to build toward. I think the roster is deep and really capable of a long run. But these last few days, they lost the first three to the Blue Jays, couldn't buy a hit or a run. And that sort of continued here in Chicago. So I said it on our broadcast yesterday, and this might drive White Sox fans crazy, but I think it's true. It's sort of like, you know, the old adage of you play a game in your division, it counts for two. I think losses here count double because everyone else is going to come in here and just roll this team. I mean, they've lost eight in a row before the Red Sox showed up. And to lose two to them and now have to fight to salvage the finale, you know, with all of these AL Central teams seeing the White Sox so much, those are the teams the Red Sox may well compete with for wild cards. It is a really tough start to this series for sure.
Man, a White Sox loss counts double because of the expectation of it being a win. Now you're making me want to look. Yeah, the Yankees come in here. They're going to pick up a win, is what you're thinking. The Blue Jays are going to. The Orioles are going to. So the pressure's on. It's sort of, what, a division and a half game in that way?
It is. I mean, the Blue Jays just came in and mopped the floor with them. So, I mean, it's the way it is. So I don't mean to dump on the White Sox. I mean, I love Will Venable. I think that, you know, there's some hope down the pipeline maybe. But they're not a good major league team right now, not even close.
No.
And so you have to win these games.
Oh, man. Right now I'm thinking of my broadcast partner tomorrow, Lawrence Holmes, my weekday booby, and Shane and Danny, who are all dyed-in-the-wool White Sox fans, Will, having to live with that reality. And I tell you what they're going to say. They're going to say, you can't say that about our pledges. Only we can say that about our pledges.
Well, sure. And I mean, listen, I understand that it's not like the Red Sox have been in the World Series 3 years in a row. So it's not like they're standing on the mountaintop and have any ability to judge anyone else, because this is a really important season for the Red Sox to prove it, too. I mean, it is. And like I said, I think they're going to do it. I think that the additions of Bregman and Crochet and so many other pieces, Walker Buehler, who looked great in his last start, I think the Red Sox are going to be just fine. I think they're a good team.
You're good, Will.
Not my place to say, but like that's the perception around the game. And it's not like there's some, you know, like nationwide belief in the farm system that's coming either. So it's a rebuild. I'm pulling for them. I love Will Venable. I've heard great things about Chris Getz. But as it stands right now, this is a team you have to beat.
Yeah, it speaks to the actual reputation and thought process all around MLB, for sure. This is Will Fleming, the Red Sox radio voice here on 670 The Score. Is Garrett Crochet, like, does he check ace boxes to you in your time now, getting a chance to observe him, to talk about him in the spring, and I'm sure talk with him in the spring and beyond? Does he check the ace box for you?
In every way, yes. I mean, that to me, that's a total no-brainer. And yeah, it's been a little chilly a couple times he's thrown, so he's, instead of throwing 99, he's been at 95 and 96. But they needed him big time in his second start. They were on another one of these sort of skids in their opening road trip. And he was a stopper in a major way. He went eight innings and was totally dominant. He saves the bullpen the day before he pitches and the day after he pitches. He has that aura about him. He just exudes that mentality when I'm taking the mound, this is my mound, you're not going to do anything. I think it's going to be really fun theater to see him on the mound today back in Chicago. He's been looking forward to this. He's been funny here in Chicago because, obviously, he's got a lot of friends. And there's some mixed emotions, but he's so excited to be where he is in Boston. Obviously, he's a very wealthy man all of a sudden. I think he wanted to be part of a contender in his prime years. And you know, the Lord willing, he's going to be a big part of making that a reality in Boston. His personality fits our town too, Matt. Like, he doesn't care about the external pressure and expectations. He just comes to work. And I really love his mindset. I don't know how often you've had a chance to be around him or talk to him, but one of the surprising things about him is that he's kind of soft-spoken, you know? I mean, he speaks with his arm, and he's a really good teammate. Guys love him in there, but he's not, you know, in Boston, we're used to our ace being a big, outsized personality, whether that's Clemens or Pedro or even Curt Schilling. Chris Sale was more of a fiery guy than Crochet is. So now if the manager comes to the mound and wants to take the ball out of his hand, he'll try to choke him out. But that's not his personality. Most of the time is to be really even keeled. And I just think he's a perfect fit here.
I remember growing up, Will, like the whole thing with Fenway and the Green Monster, like there was a while there where people thought, well, you know, lefties will struggle there. But hell, Bruce Hurst didn't struggle. My dad would tell me that Bill Monbouquet didn't struggle, you know?
It's like, so it's kind of a myth, isn't it? With that big wall in left field, it's a myth that left-handed pitchers can struggle there.
Well, it is, but also not all left-handers are Garrett Crochet, right? And not all left-handers are Chris Sale. He had a pretty good time at Fenway Park, too. So I also think, Matt, that we know so much more now about pitching, maybe for better or worse. I think a lot of times we kind of overdo it on all this spin and, pitch selection and so much secondary and off-speed, but we're not putting the genie back in the bottle. But, yes, for a long time, soft-tossing lefties got in big-time trouble because balls just got smoked off and over that green monster. But those guys were not throwing 99 with wipeout sliders and ridiculous changeups like Crochet is. So the Red Sox have a really left-handed bullpen this year, too, with Chapman and Justin Wilson and even Brandon Bernardino. And those guys pitch very well at Fenway. So, yeah, I think that's that is a narrative that is kind of in the past. But the wall itself is a really interesting thing because – hitters and pitchers both come in, visitors, and they look out there and they feel like they can, from the mound, reach out and touch it, which is such a different experience. So I think it probably rattles visitors more than it does the Red Sox.
Yeah, it's probably true. But I will look up John Tudor's stats and throw that soft-tossing lefty stuff at you. Will Fleming here with us. What do you think of Chase Meidroth, the brand-new Red Sox, former Red Sox minor leaguer? He's the White Sox starting shortstop again today.
Well, I started hearing more and more about him last year, and I have good relationships up and down our organization in the farm system, the player development folks, the minor league coaches and all that. And about June of last year, you started to hear these rumblings of this dude right here is a major league player and he could help the team. And clearly he's proving that in his first couple of days in the big leagues. He's an on-base machine, right? I mean, who in the minor leagues gets on base at 425? And I'm sure you've seen the video of his AAA manager giving him the news that he was going to the big leagues. Like, when your AAA manager is almost in tears because he's excited to tell you you're coming to the major leagues, I think that speaks to the player, but more importantly, the person that he is. And the people in the Red Sox front office, look, they hated parting with him. They think he's an ultimate gamer, help you in a lot of different ways. You have to give up good players to get good players. So I think they would do it 100 times out of 100 to get a guy like Crochet. But, Meidroth is a really interesting player, and his stats, his size, his physicality, they don't jump off the page. But, I was talking to somebody on the field 2 days ago about him as he was taking batting practice. And like the Red Sox knew forever that he would put the ball in play, that he would get on base, that he would do all the little things to help you win games. But all of a sudden, he sort of found like this pole side power with ease. We haven't seen that in this series, obviously, but I think that's another element now where, like, if he can sort of easily lift the ball to left field and hit a bunch of home runs, then, his profile is a totally different thing. So everyone that I've talked to loves him, and I think White Sox fans will too.
And how about Kyle Teal or Braden Montgomery, your dime, your dance floor, and either one of those guys that you'd like to tell us something about?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that was those two guys obviously were the hardest to part with. The Red Sox have these other three outstanding prospects,
yeah,
in Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, and Christian Campbell, who's in the big leagues. And I think those three guys were probably totally off the table. Right. I just don't think they were going to get rid of those guys to get anybody. And I think having seen Campbell and Meyer and Anthony and Camp, I think we're all happy that they made that choice. Teal is an interesting one because he's got a big personality. Like, he was in some ways like the social glue of those three guys as they made their way through the minor leagues. He's a college guy, unlike the others. He DJs in the clubhouse. Like, he's just like quick-witted and fun. I think the Red Sox, I'll try to put this delicately. Like, they love the player. They love the person. But if they thought he was Adley Rutschman, he wasn't coming in this deal either, right? And I think I would say he's probably like a high floor, maybe lower ceiling player. Now, he's off to an awesome start in AAA, and maybe he evolved. You never know with these prospects, right? We're all going to get burned by any kind of like projection about what a player can or can't be. That's up to them. So I think Teal is going to be a good player in the big leagues. Whether he's a superstar type or not, I think that remains to be seen. And then on Braden Montgomery, to me, Matt, that's the one where we could be looking in 3 years and say, whoa, like this was a good deal for both sides. Because he is, like, I follow Stanford baseball. I went there. I watched him for a couple of years. The tools are outrageously good. I think he fell to the Red Sox in the draft because of this weird, you know, ankle injury that was not a big deal. He has the clutch gene. He's an incredibly thoughtful, well-spoken guy. I think Braden Montgomery, of all the guys that the White Sox got from Boston, I think his ceiling is the highest. And if you ask me to say in 5 years from now, who's the star that emerged for Chicago in that trade, I think that would be Braden Montgomery.
Good stuff with Will Fleming here from the Red Sox Radio Network. All right, last one. Bregman look like a guy who's worth 40 at every single year. Does it look like a sound investment to this point?
I look like a guy who's worth $40 million, don't you think?
I do. 45, you know, maybe.
It's hard to say that, right? I mean, the money is the money. But, yeah. Yes, he's checked every box for the Red Sox. I mean, yes. And they needed this, Matt, big time. And I actually think the next couple of weeks are why you have him. I had a conversation with him yesterday where he is so upset about what's going on with this team. And he wants them to do a lot of different things better. But the third base defense he's already put forth is incredible. It solidifies so many things that they're trying to do. But, they needed an adult in the clubhouse. And that's exactly what he is. Like, you know, opening day at Fenway Park, we had gotten in from the previous road trip at 11 o'clock. And we played a 3 o'clock opener at Fenway Park. And Alex Cora at midnight had to text Bregman to say, do not show up at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Don't do it. And, that's who he is. He lives this stuff. He wants to be around and talk about baseball at all times. And so those are the things that are sort of hard to quantify, right? And he is such a great leader for the Red Sox young players because let's face it, over 6 months, these guys are going to struggle. They're going to hit walls. They're going to encounter things that they've never done before. And he's been through the wars. The other thing is he's just a winner, Matt. He's been in the playoffs every single year of his life since his senior year of high school, right? And that's all he talks about. That's all he wants to do. And so he has been a total breath of fresh air. He's a leader. I think, the interesting thing is early in the season, he's not hit a lot with runners in scoring position. He hasn't. He's had more plate appearances than anybody on the club. And as of yet, he's not really delivered in those spots, but I do not expect that to stick around. And, speaking of the Green Monster, his swing is perfect for it. It just is. He's got pull side power. I think he's going to hit a bunch of home runs, especially at home. So, yeah, I think everyone, despite the record, despite the offensive numbers lately, everyone's thrilled that Bregman's here. And I don't expect him to opt out. He loves it here. His wife loves it. They're about to have their second baby any day now. So I think they're settled into Boston, and everyone here is very happy that they are.
Well, Will Fleming, my text lines and my Twitter mentions are now a mix of several people saying, Will Fleming should have got the Sox TV job because it was reported that you were a finalist there. And there's other people saying, tell this guy to go screw because the White Sox are worth a win and a half. So you've done your part. You've done your part in eliciting reaction. The rest of my show should be a breeze. Thank you, sir.
Oh, I love it. Hey, and those reports were true, and I would have loved to have been here. Life has a way of working itself out. I'm thrilled to be in Boston and to be there for a long time. And I'm just telling the people what the world of baseball thinks. That's just the reality. That's not my opinion. It's everybody's opinion. And I don't have any bias against the White Sox. I have no bitterness. That's the reality. For a team like the Red Sox who have aspirations to contend, these losses have really hurt.
Will Fleming is a content machine. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Take it easy on me on the text line. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Will. Will Fleming right there on a hit and run. All right, let's open the phone lines here at 312-644-6767. Losing to the White Sox is bigger than a regular loss because everybody else is going to come in there and pound them. Those Red Sox broadcasters, man. And let's talk about the matchup today and some of these other matchups. It is fascinating. Today's MLB slate is fascinating for a wide array of angles. Team of the moment a little bit later. Chase Meidroth, hopefully, at some point today. Jerry Hairston Jr. later on. But my goodness, and this matchup on the south side, this is juicy this afternoon. Let's discuss, and the phone line's open for you at 312-644-6767 on the score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There he is, Shane Smith, making his big league debut. First big league strikeout for Shane Smith. Let's keep that baseball. 0-2. Yes, sir! Shane Smith with two punch outs to start the ball game. Nice start to his big league career. 2-2. Upstairs, swing and a miss, strike three.
So last time out, Shane Smith was absolutely terrific in Cleveland. He was good in his debut, but the follow-up was a no-hit bid that he carried into the sixth inning, lost to Cleveland 1-0. but gave up just two hits and six scoreless innings. He pitches today. Shane Smith has a nasty changeup with arm side run that goes away from the lefties since he's a righty. And it was really, really cool to watch him. 13 pitch, 1-2-3 inning. So then 32 pitches to get through the second, third, and fourth combined. He made Stephen Kwan look bad with that changeup, an ugly swing and a miss. And threw 22 changeups in the start, got four swings and misses with it. But he is nasty, and he is a big-time bright spot on this White Sox Major League team. There's maybe just a few. Chase Meidroff is another. By the way, we were expecting to talk with Chase Meidroff today. We're just alerted by the White Sox that that's not going to be able to happen today. Needs a rain check. Short turnaround, apparently, with the day game today. So it goes. So it goes. So the White Sox and Red Sox will start at 1:10 today, and we'll talk to Chase Meidroff down the road. But that pitching matchup is juicy. Shane Smith and Garrett Crochet. Here it is. Sox fans, you going to boo Garrett Crochet? You going to cheer him? I mean, he has now said about the Red Sox, it's the big leagues, you know? He said on that podcast the other day, the Baseball Isn't Boring pod, that he never really thought about wanting to be here the whole time. It wasn't really something he even discussed. This is the second of those cuts, by the way, from the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, where he talked about, well, I guess we got time to play both of them, right? Because I think it probably makes sense. Let's play the first one. This was him talking to Rob Bradford on Baseball Isn't Boring.
I don't know if it's a big deal or not.
No, I'm not really thinking of it too much like that. It's I was there for a while, but at the same time, not that long because I had so much injuries over the years. There's been a lot of turnover while I was there and in the 6 months I've been gone. So it's you know, it is what it is. Yeah.
Is it? This is a weird question, but does it seem like a long time ago? You know, like, I know it's only been, you've only been
three months,
but still, there's a lot has happened in the last few months.
Yeah, it does. And, like, I do have great memories there, but I also, like, am totally indifferent. I'm just very indifferent about the situation, to be honest. Like, and it's nothing against them or anything like that. It's kind of just, I don't know, because typically I am like a, you know, an emotional guy. Like, I pitch with emotion. It's like I have a lot of gratitude for them, but I really have no emotion about the situation.
Oh, man. Dude is indifferent about the time that he's spent here. Indifferent? I usually pitch with emotion, but I'm indifferent? That'll be interesting to see how fans greet him this afternoon.
You think on his LinkedIn page he even has it in his work experience? It's just minors, Red Sox. He's removed it.
Oh, man, but he spent a lot of time here and a lot of different teammates, different profiles of teammates. He must have at least once envisioned himself being a White Sox player for life.
From the moment you're drafted, you're looking towards... I mean, you're not looking towards it. From the moment you're drafted, you're looking towards debuting. Once you debut, now you're figuring out what arbitration is for the first time because guys in the clubhouse are going through it. And then as you kind of start to hear about that, I feel like I was looking forward to that. And then once I hit arb with them, it was like, okay, next step's free agency.
Business takes over.
Right.
And like, oh, I'm going to wear this uniform forever.
I think that, you know, after being drafted, it was like, maybe that was a thought, like, be there forever. But I feel like once you get into a big league clubhouse and it's like 21 playing with Encarnacion, I don't know how old he was at the time, probably 36, 37, 38. And it's like, you know, he's been with tons of different teams, has had a great career. And it's like, more often than not, unless you're, you know, Canerco or Veritek, it's like you're not... Not many people are spending their entire career with one team.
No. Was there a guy that you talked to, you remember early on about that dynamic?
Not necessarily, because You know, it's like I said, I'm with guys that have been, you know, all across the league. It's like Liam in the bullpen in 21 was on like his, I don't know, seventh org or something like that. But then it's like we also have, you know, Cody Hoyer, Aaron Bummer, you know, who were drafted by the team. And then, I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of just like I'm trying to find a reason, but that thought was never in my mind.
Oh, no.
Thought was never in his mind. So indifferent about his time here, and it was never in his mind to spend his lifetime as a member of the White Sox. I mean, he knew they don't sign extensions like that. They don't usually pay their pitchers. So, and he wanted to get somewhere where he eventually then can call it the big leagues, and that's where he is. So how's he going to be greeted today? This is going to be interesting. You know, this is about as good as it gets. If you're a White Sox fan right now, today might be about as good as it gets. My microphone spinning around there. That was interesting.
It literally just fell.
Yeah, I need some blue need blue chew for the microphone. That's this microphone needs to chew it and do it. It like you're going for a sweep of the Red Sox after their TV guys talked smack about you on Thursday, and their radio guy was on Hit and Run this morning talking smack about you. Now you've beaten him twice in a row. Got a new kid up here, a cookie in Chase Mydroth, former Red Sox prospect. He's been fun. Now you have the guy on the big league roster that I would argue you should be most excited about watching, and that's Shane Smith. Right now, more than Miguel Vargas, even more than Mydroth. If Shane Smith is like, if he's a legit starter that you got as a Rule 5 draft pick, you know, that you can actually watch every fifth day, can give you a little something-something in the big leagues, and you're going against Garrett Crochet with a chance. After 30,000 were there yesterday, load them up, cheer them on, and hopefully they can make you happy today. And you can get some a little bit of a vengeance win today. Here's what I love about Shane Smith. He's got four different movement patterns on his four pitches. Okay? They move all over the place. So it's fun to watch him. He's got, you know, the classic fastball these days, the four-seam fastball that has some carry on it, or at least the absence of drop is what it looks like. Carry. And then he's got that changeup that we've mentioned where it has a lot of the movement on the arm side. He's got a slider that breaks the other way. And those are at similar speeds because that four-seamer's in the mid-90s. It's plenty fast enough to do its damage. That changeup and the slider would break different ways. Those are both in the 80s. And then he's got a curveball that's in the low 80s, and that one drops straight down. It drops, you know, with some of that 12-6 movement. I mean, that's like, that is a really good mix. And the fastball is plenty good enough to get strikes on its own. So watch Shane Smith today. He can hit 96, 97, but he'll average about 94, 95. And he's a big dude, big, strong dude. He is legit. Hey, the phone is ringing over there. What's going on with the associate producer? Is he noticing that the phone is ringing? Tell him. Wake him up.
Hey, Ruben.
Phone's ringing over there, dude. Now it rang twice. Twice a caller is called in wanting to talk on the show. What's happening over there?
The ringer is off. Shane, help me. Shane, help. I'm like Dustin Renahai. Shane, can you please help me with the ringer?
Do you know how to turn on the ringer, Robbie?
No, I don't know how to turn on the ringer.
You don't?
A telephone? What is this? I only know an iPhone.
All right, God. You guys are going to have to pay attention. I'm going to need eyes up, eyes forward, maybe eyes down at the phone. Roopster, can you handle that? Can you handle paying attention? What do you think?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good.
He's
good
also time. Very excited about his big D.C. trip this week.
Oh. Yes, exactly.
Understood. Yeah, and how's pitch and catch going over there? This is the other show that happens.
Yeah, that was one of our big topics. Another big topic we had was Passover last night. Apparently, he made an incredible meal or made an incredible side dish for everyone.
Well, what he made was a dessert item that we couldn't have at Passover because it wasn't flourless, but then we broke the rules and had it for breakfast this morning. Tell people what it was, Ru.
So the dish I made is called babka. An easy way to put it. is like, it's basically a cinnamon roll loaf.
Yeah.
But instead of cinnamon, it's chocolate.
It was freaking delicious.
Yep.
The kid baked a babka. I know.
Proud of you, Roo.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, it's a babka. The babka's a big deal. And the kid had a money babka. All right, we'll get back to the D.C. trip and pitch and catch. But, yeah, the phone lines are ringing. Sometimes people want to talk, Roo, and that's kind of the job over there. So, you know. But
good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's fair, right? I understand.
Yeah, that is a good point.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you. That's my job, is to make good points, you know? Do you have any interest in doing this job ever, by the way, as a radio talk show host?
You want me to be honest?
Yes, I do.
Not in the slightest.
Not in the slightest. Why is that? Why would you never want to do this job?
I mean, I guess it's just part of me now since I'm 13. Like, the urge to rebel and do something different from your parents.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is extremely self-aware.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. No, I get it. I totally get it. You want to do something different. You know what? Good for you.
You know my dream. Robbie knows my dream.
Astrophysicist.
Astrophysicist. Yeah. I never wanted to be an astrophysicist, you know?
Well, I'm here.
All right. You can be the astrophysicist.
All me.
In the family. This is Nick on the north side. Nick, we finally got you screened. The associate producer went to work. How are you, Nick? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
And no worries. He's doing a great job.
Excellent. Thank you.
So I heard the Garrett Crochet clip, and yeah, there's reason for Sox fans to be upset by what he said, but I think there's a larger, more macro issue that he made a really good point on, in that the MLB seems to be the only major sport where if you draft a player and they get really good, they more often than not do hit free agency. Football and basketball, once you get a good guy, you do everything you can to keep them. And it just seems to be trending towards you lose your good players and other teams reap the benefits. So I wonder from your perspective, how do you either address that, fix that? Because it seems to be the case that it's just going to be more of the same.
Nick, it's a really good macro point, and I appreciate the call. It sucks. The business of baseball kind of sucks right now, and it's – it's a very local and, you know, regional sport that often gets talked about from the perspective of wherever you are. And in this town, we're fortunate to be able to, like, hear the conversation and be part of the conversation from both the White Sox perspective and the Cubs perspective. And they have different budgets and different viewpoints, even though they're both big market teams. But, yeah, I mean, somebody showed up at a Pirates game the other day wearing a Paul Skeens Yankees jersey. Did you see that? Because it is considered fait accompli, to your point, that once Paul Skeens is ready for free agency or in the year or two beforehand, and it's clear that the Pirates aren't going to pay him, that he will get traded to a team that will, much like Garrett Crochet now on the Red Sox. So, yeah, it sucks. And there are things that can be done to fix it. And I think in a couple years, we're going to see a big, ugly standoff with a lack of baseball as there is a work stoppage and the two sides are discussing ways that they can change it. And the owners will be doing their thing and the players will be doing their thing. And the players will, I think, want the status quo, because the Stars getting $500 million is enough to keep the players happy with the status quo. And the status quo means that owners will, you know, play their various games based on, again, their regionalism. It's ugly and it's petty and it's very individualized. I actually believe that the game would be better with a salary cap and a salary floor. Now, some teams might not survive with that salary floor. Okay. And, you know, there are others who believe that that is not the way to do it, that you should, as a small market team, know how to be what the Rays are and what the Guardians are and what the Brewers are. And what those teams do is try with desperation to sign those good players to long team friendly contracts as soon as they possibly can. And when they get somebody who won't, because they're dreaming bigger or because their agents want them to take it all the way to free agency, then you end up with this push-pull that we're all so familiar with, and it goes on and on until finally the team gives in. and deals the player away. Or maybe they hold on to them forever, all the way until they hit free agency, and then they get nothing for him, or they get a compensatory draft pick for him, or they hope that they get worse, you know, or they trade him at the very last instant. And we saw this all play out with Bryant, you know, with Chris Bryant and with Javi Baez and everything like that. So, yeah, no, the macro point is that it sucks, and I think there needs to be a massive restructuring. And I'm going to be one of those guys who's going to deal with what we have to deal with in 2 years. If I'm going to have to miss out on MLB, as long as they come through it with a better system, I'm going to have to suck it up and be okay with it. And you make some good points. It's 670 The Score. It's Matt Spiegler with you on Hit and Run. Our team of the moment coming up. I know who should be the team of the moment. There's another team that will be team of the moment. It's a little bit of a disagreement on staff, and you'll hear it played out in all its awkwardness. 670 The Score is where you are. Keep listening to Hit and Run.
Torek slams another one into an alleyway left center field, and that is out of here. A Torek bomb in the fourth. We tested right center, and then he took the measure of left center. That's a high fly ball by McKinstry way back into the stratosphere. That was a hot air balloon out of here. That's a long fly ball. Dylan Dingler to left. It is out of here. The high fly ball deep in the air, left field side. Spencer Torkelson out of here in a big way. Man, oh man. There is locked in, and there is Torque right now.
It was the team of the moment, offering entertainment. The team of the moment, they caught our eyes.
I'll tell you, those Detroit Tigers are on fire. 8-2 in their last 10. Jason Benetti on the call. Spencer Torkelson with an OPS above 1. He's one of 3 qualified Tigers hitters living in that space. Dylan Dingler, the catcher, is in that space. And Gleyber Torres, even though it's just one home run, Gleyber way up there with the 1.265 OPS. But that's really just in a few games, actually. So he's not fully qualified. But anyway, Torkelson is a big part of the story. And you heard the home runs there. But the pitching, Jack Flaherty, with a whip under 1 through his first 3 starts. Tarik Skubal, the defending Cy Young champion, with a whip of 1.2 and an ERA under 4 in his first 3 starts. Casey Mize will go today for the 3rd time. His whip is under 1, and he will be going as the Tigers go for a sweep after Jackson Jobe, the son of golfer Brent Jobe, was absolutely terrific yesterday. Jackson Jobe is the truth. And him as a 5 starter, well, him and Mize as 4 and 5, is a big reason why I have been high on the Tigers, and here they are finding themselves atop the AL Central. Jackson Jobe hit 98 with the fastball, crazy high spin rate curveballs. He got 13 in a row out at one point, 17 of his final 18 batters. And the Tigers are indeed today's team of the moment. Now, truth be told, I decided a few minutes back that it really should be a different team, but I couldn't take it away from our Tiger fan, Robbie Triano. I just couldn't do it.
Well, I greatly appreciate it. And what was the team that you were going to say? You said the Padres, right?
Yeah, the Padres are 12-3, have the best record in baseball. Yesterday, they shut out a team for the 5th time in their first 15 games. They're 9-0 at home. Their pitchers have a 1.22 ERA at home. Fernando Tatis with the home run yesterday and then the great catch for the final out yesterday. Padres pitching has been absolutely terrific. So, yeah, I was rethinking it this morning and thinking maybe it should be the Padres, but I didn't want to take it away from
Well, let me tell you why you're wrong, Mr. Spiegel,
okay,
right there.
Okay, good. Thank
so
God.
After
thank
last God, year's God playoff run, everyone was saying, was this a fluke? Was this a fluke? What happened? They just got super hot to end the year. They win a playoff series against the Astros. They lose against the Guardians. Was this a fluke? And we're realizing right now, it is not a fluke. They are doing this. They have won 7 of their last 8. They've won their last 4 series. We're seeing the youth of this team that I've been hoping and praying as a Tigers fan my whole life that they are emerging right now with Spencer Torkelson. We have Jackson Jove. Hey, Javi Baez, remember him? He's actually being useful. He's actually being very useful right now and playing third base, which is something that I've enjoyed seeing. We have Scooble, Jack Flaherty, the best 1-2 punch, I think, in starting pitching in the entire league. We have the best manager in baseball, in my opinion, who handles a bullpen better than the Detroit Tigers right now. And who's Zach McKinstry? You may ask me, oh, who is Zach McKinstry?
No, I won't, because he was a Cub for 10 minutes.
Well, no one knows who Zach McKinstry is, but he's...
I know who he is. I just told you who he is. He was a Dodger and a Cub.
Well, he's absolutely lighting it up right now, batting 326 and OBP over 400. And we're doing this with players you've never heard of. The Detroit Tigers are here. They're emerging. They're not a fluke. That's why they're the team of the moment.
Okay. All right. Great.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, I didn't ask. I didn't. Well, I guess I did. I guess I did ask. But you didn't even. You just rolled through me knowing who Zach McKinstry was and people knowing who Zach McKinstry was.
Well, you're supposed to know him, but the random Jamoke out there, they need to know who Zach McKinstry is.
Zach McKinstry was at 47 games as a Cub in 2022. I think he might have been on the compound. Wasn't he on the compound? No. Who's the other Tiger? There's a Tiger who was on the compound. Who am I thinking of?
I only listen to Fly the W.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, look, you know, good for you. And the Padres, I bet the Padres are going to have another chance. So this will not exhaust our Padres team of the moment consideration. Jason Hayward with a home run for the Padres. And, you know, they've got Gavin Sheets over there. Yeah, you want to keep talking Padres. That's what I keep wanting to do. But no, it is hit and run. Pitch and catch has been going on the other side of the glass. A lot of people very excited about the Bobka. A lot of people really texting in, very excited about the Bobka. But there'll be a little more pitch and catch going on. And the associate producer said to me during the break, and I don't know if he's wrong, he said, the Cubs are back. He said they are back.
Yes, I did.
Let's discuss why he thinks that. Okay? Mm-hmm. And whether you should think that. We've got Cubs-Dodgers later on. On this very radio station, we're out of here a little bit early because there's Bulls basketball. But Cubs-Dodgers will be on Sunday Night Baseball tonight and on Sunday night here on The Score. So look, this is looking like a very good television Sunday for sports. You've got Shane Smith and Garrett Crochet. And we can touch on that a little bit more. Some texters letting us know how they're going to be dealing with Crochet, whether they'll be rooting for him or not. And you've got that, and you've got a Masters with Bryson DeChambeau and Rory McIlroy as your final pair. Holy bejesus. And then Cubs-Dodgers to cap it off, coming off a 16-0 win. Yeah, that's right, 16-0 last night, as you heard it right here on The Score. It is Hit and Run. It speaks with you, Jerry Hairston, later. Phone lines open, and our conversation continuing on 670 The Score.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.